Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm eternally mortal.
And this is the Hidden
And
Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff. And things. And say your thing, Ben, real quick.
And I am Ben Ulansey.
Yay! Go ahead, Tam. Do the rest.
Sorry, I got into it. and today you're listening to Season 4, Episode 9, and this week's theme is Ben Ulansey.
Our special guest and first guest on the Hidden Egg Podcast, Ben Ulansey, writer on Medium, and not Kermit the Frog, definitely.
So before we really get into that, I want to just kind of plug a little bit because I submitted this article or published this article today, like literally today as we're recording this, to hopefully get people that want to get their articles on here. There's no way that we can possibly read all like hundreds of thousands of articles that are published every day, every week, whatever. So whatever, like if we're not seeing your articles, find this story and do the thing to submit your article so that we can read it and determine if it fits with our podcast or one of the episodes for season 5.
Yep, just a little way to put a line in there if you want it. Check it out. It's pretty cool. Well done, Tam.
Okay, so moving on. We're talking about Ben Ulansey, and I don't know if you noticed, but so when I first started like looking through this list, he has this list of his boosted articles. He now has 62. So in the past like few days, he's gotten 2 more boosted.
Yeah. 62 boosted articles in your career on Medium. Ben, do you want to like introduce yourself in whatever way you'd like to do so? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't have a particularly set way of introducing myself. What do I have in my Medium bio? I think it's a fairly good descriptor.
Do you want me to
read
it? Ben
is a word enthusiast who writes about everything from technology, politics, religion, film, AI, and video games to dreams, drones, drugs, dogs, memoirs, and terrorizing Floridian with dinosaur costumes.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
There was more than one story about that, so I get to officially put it on the list.
Nice.
I missed that one. I'll have to check those two out.
Sadly, that was not one of the ones to get boosted, perhaps not unsurprisingly.
And I read your story today. Is it okay if I kind of reveal what you wrote in the story from today?
Yeah, absolutely.
That Ben is now he has been for a little while, but he's now openly a boost nominator.
Ooh, nominator Ben.
And with 62 boosted stories in the just over a year of the boost program, kind of makes sense why he's in that program. Totally get it.
Well, I appreciate the kind words.
Well, you obviously Absolutely. Know what it takes to be boosted. 62 stories. Like, that's more than one a week.
Well, from your perspective, Ben, do you feel like you know what it takes to be boosted on Medium nowadays?
Whenever people ask me, I don't feel as though I can generally do a whole lot better than what Medium has already explained in their the articles they posted to the Medium blog where they introduce it, where they there's 3 or 4 articles now that they've posted where they explain specifically what they're looking for. So I've been little bit reluctant to write an article myself to say, this is how you get boosted, because I don't really feel as though I have a whole lot new to provide to that conversation.
That's understandable and humble too. And also, if you're going to get uncomfortable with compliments, I hope you're prepared and girded, because you're going to get complimented a lot, I think.
Aw, thanks.
Side topic, I didn't even notice that Sturge put crisscross in the chat, and it made me really smile. That is my childhood right there. That's amazing. And for our listeners, I just want to say we have a new chatter that has joined us, Robin. Robin is apparently an all-star, a nobody, and a staff pick all at the same time. And it sounds delightful so far.
She wears many hats.
Not to call you out, Robin. Hopefully you don't feel too like the spotlight shined on you too much. I just wanted to say hi. one mustache. So, do we want to start with the questions we have, or do we have anything else we want to kind of chit-chat about beforehand?
Well, I wrote some notes down, and like one of the things that really interested me about doing an interview with Ben is, I mean, obviously the 62 stories is kind of a big deal. Obviously, he has something. Whether he knows what it is or not to tell us is another story, but he's got something down that everybody likes, or that Medium likes, that people like. When I went through and I looked into all of your stories, I'm sorry, that probably messed with your stats a little bit. Most of them are 5 to 7 minutes, which is standard for what people are saying out there is like the sweet spot. And the longest, there's like two of them that are 13 minutes, which is pretty awesome.
One of the 13 minute ones I can't take full credit for because, it was largely just a conversation that I had with ChatGPT when it first became available. And we were just going back and forth talking nonsense. But it was a pretty entertaining story, I will say.
I want to see that one. I've noticed in going through your articles, like most of them, the average for what the boost settles out is like 1 to 2,000 claps and then 15 to 30 comments. Is that kind of what you got a feel for as well?
Sorry, you cut out for a second. Could you repeat that question?
The general standard for your boosted articles seems to be that you get about 1 to 2,000 claps and then about 15 to 30 comments. Is that a pretty accurate assessment from what you...
That sounds about right. There are certainly some subjects that are a little bit more successful than others. I would say, in general, with the film pieces, they're not as likely to do as well as a hot-button political topic.
Right. Yeah, that is true. So I went all the way back to your very first one not this past April, but April 2023. And the name of it... Oh, wait, no, we're not going to do that one because Mortal wanted to talk about this one that I didn't write in my notes.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, I was just, Tam and I didn't get to the same articles when we were looking through them, and I found The Forgotten Lives of Forgotten Phones. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was a fun one to put together.
In the ones that I read, this one was what I determined to be the most vulnerable, you know, from my perspective, because, like, it is incredibly vulnerable to start looking at yourself from the past. There's a lot of people that when they look at themselves 10, 20 years ago, all they see is cringe. They want to just get away from it and stuff like that. And there's other people that just look back with the fondness. But like you looked at your evolution. And I thought that was really insightful.
Yeah, that was a really interesting one to put together, how that came about to give people a little bit of context. I had this old iPhone 4 that had been sitting in the bottom of a drawer for the better part of a decade. And I just randomly wondered one time when I was going to get a computer repaired anyway, I wonder if there's anything they can do with this old phone. And ironically, they were able to repair the phone in only minutes when the computer took them a couple days. And then I had this treasure trove of this old version of who I used to be to sort through. And that was really, really interesting. There were just tons of memories that I'd completely forgotten about and people that I couldn't remember used to be in my lives and ways that I was surprised that I used to talk in. It was like seeing my own voice was very unfamiliar.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had changed. You had had experiences that it changed you in very distinct ways over that time period. And so seeing like a completely different version, I don't know. It's one of those moments that like, I don't think a lot of humans really do. Don't really get around to connecting with their past self in that sort of way. And so I thought it was pretty impactful, but it's just one of our shout outs. We're going to jump on to a couple other ones. Do you have any final thoughts about that article you wanted to share before we move on?
Yeah, I think that there was another piece that kind of followed from that, from what you just mentioned there. And it's fascinating to me. One of the things about our digital lives is that we have the ability to go back into our pasts in a way that we didn't used to only 20 or 30 years ago. Like my parents and grandparents don't have this uncanny glimpse into who they were in middle school and elementary school and specific conversations that they had with specific people. So I wrote a follow-up piece on that called Why We Never Truly Die Anymore, I believe was the title I came up with. And
Well, actually, we're going to talk about that one more in depth.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Sorry, Tam, didn't mean to skip the script.
No, you're fine. I
Love
love it.
you. Okay, but yeah, I actually did make that connection as well. That's awesome. But well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to cut you off for a little bit because we're going to talk about that pretty in depth towards the end of, I think, the cast.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
Didn't
I
mean to
actually.
dominate the floor for a second there.
Do what?
Didn't mean to dominate the floor for a second there.
I mean,
No,
you are the
you're welcome
floor.
to.
You're the floor
Wait.
today.
Not like we're walking on you or
No,
anything.
not like we're walking on you.
Promise.
Sorry.
I
You're
really hope
all the
not.
things on the floor, are you?
The floor and a gif.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta see this gif.
No, but like this was one that was within the range of like your normal boosted things. And so I had to like 60 at the time, 60 articles. I just could not figure out like how am I gonna figure out what to talk about. So I just anything that was in this standard like normal range, I was like, I'm gonna leave that to mortal to maybe do what he
Yeah.
does and pick out what interests him, and I'll go to the outliers. So this one's actually a normal one too, but it was your very first one, which makes it an outlier all of its own. The religious disconnect, and I hastily read them. I'll be honest, I didn't like go in depth on any of them, but I did wonder what made you get so vulnerable. Like how did you come up with the personal stories and beliefs and opinions that you used for this particular article?
One thing I should first mention, I didn't begin compiling the lists until a couple months after the program was a thing on Medium. Didn't come up with a better way to say that. But
Understood.
so the order for those first few isn't entirely accurate. The first piece that I had picked up was actually the one on AI porn, but
Oh, was it really?
more than happy to talk about this one still,
That's so
because
funny.
that is funny. I didn't even notice that. We were talking that's the next one we'll talk about too. So I have the date for that too. I just didn't realize in my brain that it was before the date for this one.
It's largely chronological. I've mostly added them as they come in, so you're not crazy for thinking that.
Gotcha.
But to answer your other question, didn't mean to go on
No,
that
you're
segue
fine.
for a second there.
No, you're good.
That there were a few religious pieces that came out of a very specific experience where there was this woman I knew all throughout elementary school, middle school, high school, who was just truly one of the kindest people that I'd ever met in my life. And there were very few people who knew her that would have told you different. And then suddenly there's this spiritual transition after high school for her, where she began talking about tarot and astrology and crystals and whatnot. And it was harmless and innocuous and coming from a good place. And then a couple years after that, she began to talk about how everyone who does yoga or is involved in any spiritual practice or type of stretching is going to hell, and anyone who hasn't discovered Christianity is going to hell. So I had a
So
bit
sad.
of a I was pretty angry at religion itself at that point, and there are still moments where I feel like religion has taken people from me. She's not the only person who became religious, and then I feel as though was a worse person in a lot of regards afterwards.
Yeah, I've had an experience like that as well. It's rough.
And I should clarify that I don't feel that it's religion that's always going to make people into a worse person. I've certainly watched the opposite happen too, but I think that there's a curtailing of critical thought that goes into faith-based thinking that I've always had issues with.
Yeah,
Yeah.
religion's like a knife, you know? You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. Like it's not
Yeah.
inherently either one, but it's the wielder of it that really
Yeah.
determines what's going to happen with it.
And the stories can be useful and they can make people into better people. And there's certainly no use in saying all religion is bad all the time.
Right. But there are a lot of examples where it turns in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And this specific article that you wrote, Ben, has a conversation that like I've imagined having dozens of times that I've seen like, played out in certain like atheist YouTube channels in certain regards a couple of times as well. And I was amazed with how you tackled like even just the recounting of the certain aspects of that conversation where you brought up specifics and real like actual scientific data. Everyone I know that actually argues these topics, they never come prepared, including me. I'm always like, there's data, and they're like, show me, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
I
it can
didn't
be
bring it
hard
in.
in the moment, and I think that it's useful sometimes to have conversations over text and in an online medium where you can actually at least have a little bit of time to verbalize your thoughts. But in the moment, I don't typically do incredibly in religious debates, especially if there's any ganging up situation or anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally understand. I hate that feeling both ways, actually.
Yeah.
So, since this was something that was really personal that happened to you, would you say that you were intending controversy? I can't say the word controversy.
There it is.
Or were you just sort of blundering into a controversial topic because of something personal that had happened to you?
Religion is always one of those points where I've been willing to challenge controversy. I was that annoying kid in high school who would have religious debates on Facebook all the time. And I definitely annoyed people with that, but I think that it was a precursor to some of the articles that I ultimately wrote on the subject. So I don't regret being that annoying atheist.
Now I see why we
Right.
get along. I was
Absolutely.
also that kid.
Yeah. I watched a whole lot of religious debates on YouTube with like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins, and I think that they colored my argument a bit more than I'm proud of, and I would be a little bit too pretentious on the subject sometimes. I think I've gradually gotten a bit better of a voice in addressing that because at least now I do, as an adult, feel as though there's some spiritual truth to what's going on in the universe, even if it's not something that's described in the Bible or the Quran. But I don't quite feel as though it's I used to believe that there was no such thing as any supernatural or paranormal activity when I was younger.
Yeah, understood. There's a oh, I can't remember his name. There's an Australian musical comedian that I really like, even though he's so far to the side of no such thing as metaphysical things that it sometimes that's Tim Minchin. Exactly. Thank you. So far that sometimes even the things that he says, I'm like, yeah, but there's something, man. It's okay to believe in stuff just for funsies, but sometimes not okay to believe in stuff for funsies. That's, some people get into Christianity that frivolously, and then all of a sudden they're down a road that they're not accepting the people in their lives. They're rejecting everyone around them because everyone's going to hell unless you believe my personal conception of what it
Yeah.
takes to get to heaven. And it's just really sad.
And there's this popular notion that all religions are created equally and we need to respect them all the same. But there are religions that, if you follow the literal word of the doctrine, are going to take you to a peaceful place. And then there are religions that, if you follow the literal words, you're going to jihadist suicide bomb people.
Right,
It's
right. Yeah.
so I don't really feel as though it's a subject that we can address with a broad stroke.
True.
But we could
Very
talk
true.
about it all day.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a fun one.
On that
It's
note,
one of those, yeah.
I'm gonna push us to move on because, like, otherwise, I know I'm just gonna get into the religious debate, and that's not what we're here for. We're here for you, Ben,
Yep.
And not
Ben is our
for
religious debate.
Sturgis trying to start shit in the comments. I just want to point that out. I don't know if anybody's been listening or watching what's going on there, but
I'm reacting to a lot. Oh, I
he's
missed
doing
that
the
one
work.
though.
Okay, so then there was the next one, which is ironically the first one. The Artificial Intelligence, Pornography, and a Brave New World, which was an insane outlier. I think this one did the best out of all of them, from what I could see.
And it was before I discovered the Oxford comma, which is a point of shame for me.
Ironic. So you
but
had like
yeah, that was my most successful article that I've posted on Medium.
6,600 claps and 129 comments. That's huge. Huge. So this one, I don't know if I really grasped what it was about, but I could tell that it exposed other vulnerabilities. And I was wondering if that was your intention of like showing how these new and, you know, the AI and everything, and it exposes our susceptibility to being vulnerable in a broader sense, or if that was something that I just read into.
I think that technology has been a unique opportunity to write vulnerably. And oftentimes what I've seen in the past is that people, when approaching new Apple products or new AI, they do it with this very dense and technical language. And it's very hard for me to not look at each of these new product unveilings through a more emotional and philosophical lens. So with when AI first came out, I very much was looking at it from a how is this going to affect society going forward perspective, rather than a these are the literal things that ChatGPT does. Here's how many parameters and data points it's built off of, because I don't really feel as though that matters as much to at least to the common person.
Yeah, not to the debate that you were addressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people don't want to know like what the parameters are or why it does what it does, how it does what it does. They want to know how it's going to affect them.
Yeah.
And that's a very different discussion.
Yeah, that was a really fascinating time when the AI porn generators first came out. I went into one of the stories a little bit in the article. There was this Twitch streamer who got caught with AI-generated porn open in one of their tabs of another popular Twitch streamer. And that was one of the big incidents that brought the conversation into public light.
Yep, that'll
right,
do it.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember who it is or anything like that, and I'm highly curious, but I don't want to ask because I'm not a fan of doxing of any sort. So
I don't remember who it was either, but I remember it kind of sweeping the...
Easy enough news to find. I don't feel like there's any harm in discussing these public figures. It was Brandon Atrioc, I believe is his name, and QT Cinderella. I actually don't watch Twitch myself.
It was QT Cinderella. Oh my gosh. Wow. Why? Not that QT's delightful, but she's the type of person that will absolutely 100% take offense to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If someone had Amaranth up on their screen, I don't think Amaranth would really, like, bat an eye at it, but that's madness. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to derail. I do know a little bit about... I don't know the dude you're talking about. That's a name I'm not familiar with.
I think one of the things that most distinguished my perspective on the subject at that time was that many people were taking the perspective on that, oh my god, how could you use this porn generator to create an image of this person you knew? And I couldn't help but taking a step back and just feeling as though we're not able to wield these tools responsibly, and we shouldn't expect ourselves to. It really isn't all that long ago that we were cavemen sitting around fire, and now we're demonizing each other for apps that generate porn based on commands that you type into your computer. So I feel for QT Cinderella in whatever emotional trauma that might have put her through. And there's a part of me that feels for Brandon Atrioc too, in using this software that could have never been conceived of only a few years prior.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I really liked about your article, actually, was like, it was almost a sociological view of how this affects the species. And if I remember correctly, you have an article or two that kind of it touches on the same sort of point, you know, like how much having a computer with all with the what I remember you put in one or two articles, like all of human knowledge just floating in the air around us, you know what I mean? Like thanks Sturge.
I've looked for various ways to state that same line, and I've not been able to do much better than the entirety of human knowledge floating through the air around us. But it's hard to hyperbolize that much more than what it literally is.
Right, it's a good line. I really like it. And I don't think anybody else is going to deep dive all of your articles like I do. Like I tend to read all of everything kind of quickly all at once. But yeah, I thought it was a really good sociological view because you're absolutely right that like I'm a huge big super fan of consent. Like when someone's consent is taken away, I get pretty upset about it. It makes me sad. I wish that we didn't feel like we had to do that. But do I understand that if everyone had the ability to just make an AI make everyone that they wanted to sleep with on their screen doing stuff, then there's a bunch of people that absolutely would, and there's nothing I can do to stop that. And so it's a view of what is the reality and where we can hope to get to, but just the realization that like the expansion of what humans are now capable of has exploded in a way that none of us comprehend, and we're not going to understand for decades, probably.
Yeah, I mean, people really just need to accept that we are walking into the time where people can have put on a helmet and have a realistic conversation with an AI girlfriend or boyfriend. It's bizarre that these are the times that we're living in, but we should be more sympathetic with ourselves and not be so quick to demonize people for what is little more than thought crime.
Yeah. I'm not overriding you over there, am I, Tam? Am I
No, no,
making
no, no, no. I was trying to react to Sturge in that moment. No, but this
a Okay.
whole the what I so I like to try to keep it to the vulnerability theme. And I'm noticing that, like, when I was writing the notes, I didn't notice it before, but I'm noticing that what you do, Ben, is you don't take your vulnerabilities and share them with the world. You take a vulnerability that the world has and share your insight about it. Does that sound about right to you?
And I never thought of it that way, but that is an interesting way of looking at it. I think you're right.
Because I mean, we're talking about this one, and it's definitely like a vulnerability that the world has. And then moving on to the next one, the why we never truly die anymore. It's also, this was out of all of them that I was able to read, this one was my favorite.
Yeah, I'm really
And
proud of that one. I'm glad you liked it.
it
Yeah, it was
has
really
the
good.
same. I think this might be where you said that, you know, we have all the data all around us all of the time, or something like that. Because that's basically what it is. Like we are leaving our virtual footprints, and it's not a footprint, it's like ghosts of us that will never really have to die unless society dies or unless we need to delete that, but it doesn't have to. And that's a scary premise of, you know, what 100 years from now, what are they going to think when they come across, you know, a personal video, one of these podcasts? You know, it's a very different line of thinking than any other generation has had in the past.
Oh yeah, it's and there are very few people who can't relate to having some dead person in some friend list and being able to go to their wall and see them type with their icon as though it's still today. And yeah, there's just something truly eerie about the way that we're preserved in our apps and our conversations.
Where
And
did you get the? Sorry, you can go ahead.
it's just a quick side note. I love the fact that it started with a GameCube memory card. That just makes me super happy. All right, please
What a
continue.
time.
And I was
Yeah.
going to ask, like, where did you get the inspiration to put those specific anecdotes? Because you could have started in a in literally an infinite number of places, but you chose to start with the Nintendo memory card, and then like you went on and had that same theme throughout the whole deal. So I'm just wondering where the inspiration came from, I guess.
I think that memory card w was actually a bit of a core memory for me. Have you guys seen Inside Out?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
I really enjoy that concept. I think about that a lot. But yeah, my dog, who I no longer have, chewed up that memory card, and it literally contained 4 megabytes. And at that time period, when it was chewed up, it felt like it was the absolute end of the world. Like, oh my God, my data. And not only did it live to see another day and still functions 20 years later, but just to think about how much I was able to care about a thing like that then, and how exponentially it's grown since then.
I think we
Like,
do actually have like 30-year-old memory cards for PS1 and PS2.
and some of those just contain kilobytes.
Yeah. But
My.
they're memories trapped in time of games that
Yeah.
we were in the middle of playing or that we finished playing, just sitting around.
Yeah, even something as simple as playing an RPG or loading up an RPG file from 1994 and seeing what you named the characters is enough to be like, holy fuck. You know? Yeah,
And
sorry.
it's not all that infrequent that you'll hear people talk about the sheer sums of data that we traffic in, but I don't know. I had never really heard people talk about the like vast accumulation of all the devices that are still sitting around, and every memory card and every SD card and whatnot from the last 20, 30 years, just all infinitely piling on top of itself. It's just a strange thing to think about, this sheer numbers that we've achieved at this point.
Absolutely.
What I liked the most about this article was that you started off with something somewhat light. I know at the time when the memory card happened, it was like an enormous deal, but at this point you can kind of look back and be like, well, there's a lot more other things that like comparatively this is a child's worst nightmare, but an adult not so much. So adding it in is sort of like a lighthearted story, but then you get real, like you slowly go into deeper concepts like the digital graveyard and what that's going to mean for people who are actually dead. Like what they're leaving behind is kind of, I don't know, it's just a perspective that I don't know that many of us even think about.
Yeah, I feel as though I'm like constantly entrenched in the whole philosophical side of this, and it's annoying sometimes to whenever there's a new technological innovation, people just get excited. Oh my God, did you hear this can do this? And I'm like, meanwhile, just brooding in a corner, like, yeah, but what does this represent for our future?
Absolutely. You're the guy that when someone's like, "Oh, we can generate so much energy when we split an atom," you're like, "Guys, I don't know if we should."
I like to think I'm a voice of caution.
Absolutely. I think it's great to have those voices. And there's a lot of people out there that'll just like be unhappy with change and just like hem and haw about it. But like you think about it. You get the details. You look at the angles. You bang the corners, as I like to say. And I think that that's a great perspective to have. From my perspective.
Well, thank you.
So I'm going to skip around a little bit in my notes, and kind of skip past what I and we'll come back to what I had next, because I want to talk about the two that did like had the least results, and see what your thoughts were about it. Both of them were about movies, I believe. Yeah, Loki and well, Loki's a show, but they're both about media. And they didn't do very well. Like Loki season two, muddled, multiversal, and still awesome, only got like 420 claps, which still a great number, and 7 comments. Even though it was boosted, it just didn't seem to go anywhere. Do you have any insight on why? Because it's not the only media article that you've written.
Yeah, it is a bit of a misconception that boost automatically equates to success. I think that there's an algorithmic component to it as well. And if a piece gets boosted and then isn't performing spectacularly, then it kind of just slowly fizzles out and gets you up to that 500 views, but no more. And yeah, it's more or less just fizzled out at that point. And yeah, you're right that it is media articles that that's more likely to happen with. My Smash Brothers article recently didn't perform all that well. Yeah, there were a couple like that. I've definitely a recurrent theme though is the film articles that are the most successful are the ones that actually touch on some personal or social thing going on. For example, my Don't Look Up review and the movie Civil War that came out recently were both touched on some hot button subjects.
So you don't
Yeah.
feel, because I was going to ask, I don't know how well Loki did in its views, in its ratings, but I was wondering if the success of the show or movie had anything to do with the success of your article about it. But it sounds
That's
like
a
it
good.
doesn't.
No, I never actually asked myself that. I saw it got boosted. I was surprised to see it get boosted. I was unsurprised to not see it go anywhere.
Yeah, and honestly, like, so the other one was the Swiss Army Man and the Beauty in Unexpected Places. I wasn't surprised that it didn't do as well as the other articles, but I was saddened that it didn't do as well because it is such a great movie, but I know that it was undersold. I didn't even know about it until like 6 months ago, and it's
I
been
didn't even
out
know about
for
it.
like a decade, I think.
I didn't even know about it
Yeah,
until
I
six
only
seconds
watched it
ago.
recently myself. Sorry, go
No, I just was saying I didn't know about it until 6 seconds ago.
on.
That's a new one for me. I didn't
I
pay
mean,
attention to that part of the notes.
technically we told you about it. It is on the server, so I've told you about it and we've recommended it to you. It's the one with Daniel Radcliffe in it that he's a dead guy.
Oh, okay. Say no more.
Yeah.
Please continue. Please continue. Ben, you were saying something. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once before that, which was the two directors' later project, and only knew about this one as a concept, but it wasn't until just a few weeks ago that I watched it myself. And I think I kind of like it a little bit more than Everything Everywhere All at Once in some regards. It's definitely simpler and less bloated and a little bit more macabre, but it's a pretty great movie. I would certainly recommend people watch that one. But it's a not for everyone. Not for everyone.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about the ending myself, but it is a great movie otherwise.
I'm in love with Dan Radcliffe, so absolutely. I think he's a phenomenal actor that has done really, really, really interesting roles, especially after he got out, of the Harry Potter thing. So yeah, I'll definitely check that one out, and then I'll read your article. I definitely didn't read the Loki article because I do a plan on watching Loki at some point. I like the character a lot.
Yeah, I enjoyed the show. It wasn't my favorite Marvel show, but there were a lot of good things going for it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
My favorite streamer talks about that movie constantly because it's their favorite movie. And I want to watch it. I just never really sat down to figure out how to go about watching it. But you saying it's also amazing is pretty indicative. I mean, you said it wasn't quite that Swiss Army Man was a bit better. And that's interesting to hear because I thought that Swiss Army Man looked really good. But they both are movies I want to see.
The reason I bring up Everything Everywhere again is just because I think the actor's name is Ki Hai Kwan is in both, and it's as though they told him to just simply reprise his role from Everything Everywhere All at Once again in Loki. And having loved that role the first time, I was glad to see him back.
Oh, nice. Right on.
He had a different name, and he wasn't explicitly the same person, but they were just too similar to ignore it.
So I should probably watch them in that order then. Everything Everywhere and then Swiss Army Man.
I don't really see that it matters. They're not related.
Okay, all right.
Swiss Army Man did come out first. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once is more ambitious.
Yeah.
They're both great. I enjoyed them a lot. They're among my all-time favorites.
Star just saying we should ask you about Wawa.
Lots to say about Wawa. They're open 24 hours a day in my area.
What
They
is
serve
Wawa?
wonderful, wonderful food. You don't even know about Wawa?
No,
Are
I've
you
never heard about
are you
Wawa.
in a Sheetz region?
What the hell is
What?
a sheets?
We have sheets on our bed.
Yeah,
Beds.
Sheetz and Wawa are considered the two rivals. I'm not sure their exact geography, but Yeah, Sheetz. I have only been to a handful of times. They're not in my area. I'm a Wawa region myself. And yeah, it's just like a picture like a gas station, but it's just like loaded with snacks, and there's like a touch screen for you to order meals and milkshakes that are very hit or miss, but those times where they hit, it's like, fuck yeah, I just gotta bang up meal at 4 in the morning.
Sounds like Quick Trip.
Sounds like a different Quick Trip trying
Well,
to
it
be
sounds like
homier.
Piggly Wiggly mixed with Quick Trip, but we don't have Piggly Wiggly here, so.
I don't know what you're talking about, Piggly Wiggly. I don't know anything about that.
I know because you don't. You've never come with me on extended vacations with my family.
Yeah.
It's Piggly Wiggly is not in the South. So I don't know if you're talking about Piggly Wiggly or not. That's more of a north thing. I think there are probably some in the South too. They're in a weird place.
They're
They don't
probably
have a
everywhere in a certain
region.
regard. I'm glad that me and Robin don't have any idea what you people are talking about together.
I
That makes me feel comfortable.
also do not know.
So moving on. you've written about So you've like you've said you've written about so many things. I wrote down that you've got articles about suicide, Israel and Palestine. You've also got media and sillier articles. What subjects do you notice do best, with or without the boost?
I would say pretty plainly, especially in 2024, that politics is the best performing subject, and technology would be probably a second behind that.
Okay. Which article,
Then
what topics do
again,
you
though, my
prefer?
technology article was the one that performed the best overall. Yeah, they're both very hot button subjects. Like when if the right article on AI is going to perform spectacularly.
What
Ooh, I need to
articles
write
do you
about it.
prefer to write about, though?
Yeah.
It certainly isn't the AI and political pieces that are my favorite to write. They are draining. I feel as though like I just don't always have something new to provide to the conversation. Like I'm amazed that I've come up with 7 or 8 political pieces that each justify their existence. And with AI articles, I feel like there's a lot of really dense information that I need to bring people up to speed on with each article, and yeah, that's never fun. I don't enjoy that side of any piece really, the researching.
Me neither. I'm right there with you. But it's a necessary tactic for certain articles, especially politics and tech. So those are the big ones.
I would say that my favorite to write about are satires are just like the most fun. Like I'll actually like be laughing at my own humor like a jackass while writing them sometimes. Memoirs are really rewarding. They can be draining in the same way as politics, but they can help you through things sometimes. I think those few pieces that I've written about losing my dog were not only the most vulnerable pieces that I've ever shared to Medium, but helped me to process it and to accept it.
That's awesome.
So
I'm
it's
really
like
glad that you're able to get
the
that process.
drain leads to a catharsis. Sorry, I didn't
Yeah,
mean to talk
exactly.
over
We said the same thing. It's fine.
you. Do you
Yeah,
have a
there's a very cathartic component to a lot of memoirs.
favorite article out of all of the ones you've written? Like, I don't know how many you've written, but it's a lot.
I think that the articles that I have pinned to the top of my profile, apart from my bio, just gives people a bullet point intro on who I am, are generally a pretty good indicator on my favorites. A lot of the personal ones where I talked about my dog, like I just mentioned, were definitely among my favorites. Another one that was I felt underappreciated from a couple months ago was a piece about the experience of being an only child. I didn't expect that one to bring so much out of me, and how many emotions that I still had invested in that subject. And writing that, I really realized myself, like just how much of an impact that had on who I was as a person, and some of the grander implications of being an only child that you don't consider when you're younger and just worried about, yeah, I don't have to share with a sibling, yay.
Right.
Right, exactly. It takes a while to really get the whole scope of that.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of both worlds. I was an only child for 9 years, and then I had four brothers and sisters.
That's interesting. Yeah, you definitely did get the best of both worlds.
I don't know. I think I got the worst of
That's
both worlds, really.
the grass is always greener. I mean, I was an only child for 11 years, and then my sister was adopted, and I'm adopted too. So it just took 11 years for my parents to get around to the next one. But so I didn't get to have only childish long enough to be able to see it in that light, and so I just kind of felt like I was on my own in a lot of ways for the first 11 years. I haven't read your Only Child article. I should probably do that at some point. It sounds interesting. I bet I'd relate to some bits.
Yeah,
Yeah,
what was the
it was a
name of
really
that one?
personal one. What I learned from being an only child. Not my best
Okay.
title, but that was yeah, that was a personal one.
Descriptive. Sturge has a request.
What's that?
Mention your lucid dreaming pieces. They deserve more attention. Sturge likes your dream pieces.
Yeah, I agree. They're some of the very most fun to write. I've almost even felt like I've had to shy away from them because they're so much less popular and so much harder to generate an interest in. But to give people a brief description on those, I started to lucid dream a couple years ago, which is when you take control of your dream while it's happening. You become consciously aware of the fact that you're dreaming and can exert some level of control over the narrative as it's playing out. And in those lucid dreaming pieces, I basically just tell the stories of my amateur experiences exploring that process. And I can't hype enough how much of an amateur I am at this. Like, there are truly so many better people to learn about this from. But even as an amateur, it's hard to overstate how utterly fascinating these experiences have been for me and how cathartic also that some of them have been for me. Like, I've had lucid dreams. One of the most powerful for me, and one of the pieces that it was probably one of the first 10 or 15 pieces that I wrote on Medium, was about a friend I had who committed suicide 8 years ago. And I saw him in my dream, encountered him in my old school as I was walking through the hall, and just really began to talk to him in depth about the world that had gone on without him. And it was such a powerful conversation, and the entire time that it was happening, it was just so hard for me to grasp that that could be taking place inside of my head while I was sleeping. Like, I was aware that I was in my bed and that none of it was real, but the things that that person, his name was Jacob, was saying to me were just so completely true to himself and could have only come from him that I just couldn't believe that my own subconscious mind could create the things that he was saying.
As if you were like in a pocket universe instead of in your mind.
Yeah, it really lent credibility to the idea of an afterlife. Like, walking away from that dream, it was hard not to conclude I really just talked to my friend who died. And oh man, to just tell a little bit about Jacob, he was the most singularly brilliant person that I've ever met in my entire life. Like, there's no one I've ever met who is more poised to change the entire world. And just to hear him speak, like, there are hard there's no person I can think of that would have been harder to mimic. And yeah, I really felt like I spoke to him in that dream.
That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Also, you're studying the human mind from the inside of it, and I think that that's amazing as well.
That's really what it is. You are walking around inside of your own subconscious. It's truly bizarre that it's possible. I didn't used to fully believe that it was.
Side note, have you tried EMDR? Because I find that same kind of description would apply to what I'm doing in EMDR as well, is sort of just walking through my subconscious.
That's like a hypnosis adjacent, right?
Adjacent. Now, I wouldn't necessarily
Yeah.
call it hypnosis, but it is kind of like going into a state of mind where my defenses against my, like, to keep me out of my subconscious are torn down slowly. They just sort of melt away.
I actually do have a bit of experience with that. I went to a few sessions with a therapist probably 4 or 5 years ago now. It was useful. It wasn't as useful as psychedelics.
Well, that's fair.
For me,
Sure.
I
Absolutely.
can't condone any all of our listeners doing psychedelics, but yeah, for me, it was a far more effective route for getting to mental health than pharmaceuticals or therapy.
Well, and the psychedelic thing is getting more traction in the medical communities too. So, some people it works better, some people it doesn't.
Yeah, those articles were fascinating as well. I did read at least one article about the psychedelics, and I've always been fascinated by that because I'm completely in love with the human mind, as fallible and silly as it is a lot of the time. And so, when we start going outside the realm of, everyday experiences, then I'm always immensely fascinated. So, they were good articles.
A few of the articles that I didn't mention in my list of favorites that are certainly among my favorites are the ones where I talk about DMT. And that as a substance, just it never stops blowing my mind that it even exists. The experiences I've had with that one are pretty unbelievable.
Cool, cool. I was going to ask what the range of your earnings were from the boosted articles, but the more we went through the interview, the more I'm like, I don't know if that's really the important part. I think it's interesting information and people might want to know that. So if you are willing to talk about it, you can, but I don't know that it's necessary to, because I think the point of being on Medium and being a writer in general is to be read and not necessarily how much money you're going to get from being read.
Yeah, so I'll just leave finances out of it and say that the ranges vary pretty enormously.
I have been
Makes
told that
sense.
that is true. So last thing, is there anything that you are currently working on or anything that you wanted to promote that we haven't talked about in the rest of the podcast?
This has kind of felt like one giant promotion. I don't know that I could impose and point toward anything else.
You could also use this time if you wanted to, just to have this spotlight for a moment to shout out somebody else that you think is interesting or something that if you think our viewers would like to check out, or
Or your publication.
or you could thank your mom or God or whatever too, whatever you want to do really.
Thank you, Mom.
Obviously.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I definitely would like to give a shout out to Thought Thinkers as a publication in general and some of the amazing contributors that we have cultivated there in the recent months. I was a little bit reluctant to enter the world of publication owning initially, and it's really turned into a pretty exciting endeavor on Medium, and I'm glad that I did it.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Hold on, I need to respond to Robin. Okay.
You did it. You did it.
So, I think we're probably about done.
Okay,
Oh,
so should I
so,
go ahead?
thank you, for Sturge and Robin, and of course Ben, for being part of the live recording. If you, dear listener, would like to join in the live action fun, please visit themonsteralley.com. You get the Spotify links to episodes, article links, merch, etc. But more importantly, you can get your invite to the Alley's Discord server and join us on the stage channel weekly. Visit themonsteralley.com and you'll make us super happy if you do. As a bonus, you'll get a thanks at the end of each episode, just like this.
Heck yeah.
And thank you so
So,
much for having me.
thank you,
Thank you
Ben,
for
so much for
being
being on
here
here.
and
It's
dealing
been
with our
awesome.
unorganized stuff.
Yeah, we were both a little nervous, and you made this real simple, and we really appreciate that. I really appreciate how conscientious you are, too. That's awesome. So, thanks.
Thank you so much.
So, I'm doing the outro now, right? Right, Tam?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thanks, dear listeners and viewers now for coming along on our podcast journey. We've appreciated you being here and listening. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the accidental monster. We have just been through an interview with Ben Ulansey. All three of us can be found on medium.com and follow yourself always.